Let me just warn you something about prayers. You know, everything that's of value is imitated. And one of the things the devil would have us do is to come up with an imitation prayers. And let me tell you the greatest danger in imitation prayers. It works. You get some satisfaction out of praise whether you've ever seen God or not. You see, the world works a lot on positive confession. And you can come singing here and not even be thinking of God or touch God in 6 weeks. And singing out loud will make you feel good. And you go away saying, I've praised. But listen, any praise that doesn't come out of a personal experience with God has got to be false. Can you imagine me getting somebody up here? I was going to do this with our brother Don last night. I was going to get him up here and just praise him and praise him. I know nothing about him. And I was just going to say all the nice things I could about him that I could think of. I was really planning on doing it. I just didn't have the nerve to do it or something. And I was going to do that. And I was going to say everything nice. And you know, I don't really know very much about him at all. It's all been false. Now, I believe that no man can meditate without praising. And I want to talk to you about meditation this morning. And meditation's got a bad word in our country. See, we have neglected meditation, so Satan's come in and given 100 substitutes for it, and now we damn it. Meditation is an art that every Christian must master. But I consider it the most important thing a Christian can do. And I'm going to talk to you about it this morning in the form of this diagram, and we're going to practice it. I'm going to talk to you, and we're going to have a blackboard session for about 30 minutes, then for 20 minutes we're going to get in the pool and swim a little, okay? And even if we drown, we'll have learned something. Okay, let's pray together, shall we? Father, we just really pray that You will grant revelation this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you'll take the little diagram that you have, I'm going to go over this first. And let's look at the top of the page. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from where? It didn't say out of the scriptures. Anybody that even knows the New Testament vaguely understands that when you live in the New Testament, you live by the Spirit. Now, I want you to look at this box that's on the right part of your page, and I'm going to have you write right down here in the corner, the object of my attention, right here. The object of my attention. I want you to write right down in that part of the page, the object of my attention. It's right down there. Now, there are usually two objects of our attention. And I want to go over this with you. Those on which I set my attention. For instance, this morning, I took my New Testament and I read some in it. I set my attention on the scriptures this morning. Okay, we set our attention on certain things. And then some things get our attention. Are you with me? You know, we go home and there's a rhubarb. Something gets our attention. Now, whatever the object of our attention is. Now, you see, this is you standing right over here. I've never been known as a good artist or a good writer. And so you'll just have to, I'm just guiding you along with this. Now, here is line number one. And I want you to write on top of line number one, my very limited view of everything. My very limited view of everything. Now, right down here, I want you to write, right along this line right here, look. I want you to write the word appearance. Right down here. Now, when you look at anything, all you see is its appearance. Now, meditation is based on this, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. Meditation is based on the fact that I have a God who not only knows everything, but a God who cares for me more than I could ever imagine. And so look at the diagram. There's our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus. Now you understand, this is just a diagram. You can quarrel with diagrams. It's hard to put spiritual realities on paper. But here is my Heavenly Father. Now, He really cares for me. Now, I want to read you a little poem, I guess it is. And it's one of the most powerful poems. And I want to read to you the first stanza, and then I want you to listen carefully to the second stanza. The first stanza will be easy to understand. Love must express itself and communicate itself. That's its nature. When people begin to love one another, they start telling everything that's happening to them, every detail of their daily life. They reveal themselves to each other, unbosom themselves, and exchange confidences. Now, we all know that to be true, don't we? Isn't that true? Is it? Now, listen, I need a response. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. When I ask you a question, either shake your head this way or this way. Okay? Is that true? Okay, now listen to the second stanza, okay? I'm going to get some kind of response out of you here, even if I run over my 40 minutes. Now, listen to this. God hasn't ceased being revelation any more than He's ceased being love. He enjoys expressing Himself. Since He is love, He must give Himself, share His secrets, communicate Himself, and reveal Himself to anyone who wants to listen. You don't have to beg God to share Himself any more than you have to beg a lover to share themselves. It's the very nature of God to want to share Himself and His interests with us. And that is the basis of all meditation. I don't have to back-arm God to get Him to talk to me. I have to back-arm myself to get quiet enough to listen to God. That's the problem. Now, look with me just a minute here. In the diagram, coming down from God, there's perfect knowing. Here's God up here, perfect knowing. God doesn't look at the appearance of anything. He has insight. And beside insight, I want you to write the word truth. Now, I want to give you the definition of truth that Vines gives in his word dictionary. I think it's good. It goes like this, and I want you to write it out. Truth is the reality that lies behind appearance. Truth is the reality that lies behind appearance. That's what truth is. Now, I believe that God knows the truth. He knows the reality that lies behind appearance. And in meditation, now, let me just go over this roughly and I'll give you three or four illustrations and then we'll practice it. Okay. Line number one, I look at anything, I have a very limited view of it because I only see its appearance. My faith says that my loving Heavenly Father has insight into everything. He knows the truth, the reality that lies behind appearance. Now, let me give you the advantage of that. We look at that wall. Let me give you a very simple illustration. We look at that wall and we say, the appearance of that wall is that it's solid. Science doesn't work on appearance. Science works on truth. And the truth about that wall is it's mostly empty space. And what isn't empty is whirling matter. Now, if science was still working on the fact that they were still working on the fact of what it appeared to be, we would be way, way back in scientific achievement. But they don't work on appearance. They work on truth. And the truth about that wall is that it's mostly empty space, and what in empty space is whirling matter. I'm just giving you a simple illustration out here in everyday life. Science doesn't work by appearance. They work by truth. Or what truth that they have discovered. Now, a very simple scripture, I'm going to share many of them with you, but a very simple scripture is this. We are to live by faith and not by what? We're not to live by how things appear to be. We look at something And we're not to live by what we see. We're to live by faith. Now, what is faith? The whole New Testament, the just shall live by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Where do you get faith from? Faith cometh by hearing a word from God. That's how faith comes. Now, let me go over the diagram with you. On line number 2, I ask God for insight. That's the second step. I'm looking at something, and I say, God, give me insight into what I'm looking at. Are you with me? I'm asking God. See, I ought to have enough sense to know that I'm just looking at the appearance of something. And because I'm looking at the appearance and my God has commanded me not to live by sight, but to live by faith, I say, okay, Lord, I need some insight into what I am looking at. Number 3, coming down, and this is very important. God gives me the insight, and then add this, I need. He doesn't give us all the insight into anything, but he gives us the insight we need at a given moment. God gives me the insight I need. And then I regret I didn't draw line 4 down by the feet, but you can write on line 4, my response to God's response or faith walk. You know what faith is? You know what a faith walk is? It's walking by what God sees, not by what we see. That's what a faith walk is. And you see, I look at something and I only see its appearance. God has the insight. I get the insight I need from him, and then I live according to that insight. Now, that's the process of meditation. Now, let me tell you what we use meditation for more than anything else. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. We use meditation to get to know God. The greatest blessing in meditation is to know him like he really is. And let me say this to you. You can never live beyond your God concept. I believe that the 2 feet on which the Christian life walks is my God concept and my self concept. And I am not capable of having a proper God's concept or a proper self's concept. And I believe you'll be a cripple in your Christian walk if you don't have a proper God concept and a proper self concept. I believe they're the most important things that you could possibly ever, ever do. I had a woman meditate on herself the other day. And she said, Lord, would you mind telling me what you think of me? And you know what the Lord told her? And she just came unglued. The Lord said, you're all the daughter I could ever want. Now, you tell me something. You don't think somebody prays after that? You see, most of us have a disgustingly low concept. And the Lord said to this woman, you're all the daughter I could ever want. She didn't even believe she'd heard from him at first. But she knew she had because she'd asked him, said, Lord, would you mind telling me what you see when you look at me? And the Lord said, you're all the daughter I could ever want. Well, here's a woman with a disgustingly low concept that all of a sudden has a reason to pray. You can't even understand the Bible by yourself. I don't know whether I've shared this illustration here. Some of you have heard me share this. I have a son. I have children spread out from 32 to 14. They use me as an example for family planning all over Florida. Well, the object of my attention one time was John Park. My youngest 14-year-old. I mean, he had my attention. There were about 15 things that he was doing I didn't like. Now, what do you do with the object of an attention like as you pray? Dear God, would you change this and this and this and this and this and this? And I was bombarding the throne of God to change this and this and this and this and this and this in John Paul. Now, let me put it together. I have a habit of spending some time with God alone every day, or mostly every day. It wouldn't be every day. It's not a rule, it's a practice. And one of the practices I've had in the past, I'm not sticking to it as closely as I used to. Now, I used to read 5 Psalms every day. And there's a juicy phrase in the Psalms that goes something like this. Moab is my washpot, over Edom will I throw my shoe. Now, don't you get excited about that? Then let's just give you a little chill, man. Now, listen carefully. I have a habit when I've tried to tap oil out of rock and nothing's come for years just to jump over it when I see it coming. Are you with me? I mean, you wonder whether the Holy Ghost really put that in the Bible or not, or the psalmist sort of slipped it in on the side. And one morning, I was having my devotions and I was reading down the line and I saw to the bottom of my eye Moab. It appears twice in the Psalms. That's meant I rent it twice every month. I saw Moab is my washpot, over Edom will I throw my shoe, and something else about Philistine. I mean, two verses in there that like a Flintstone. And I was just about to pick up speed and jump over them when the Holy Ghost said, whoa! And I stopped on Moab is my washpot. And the Holy Spirit said, get your Bible dictionary down. So I got my Bible dictionary down, and I found out that Moab were Israel's kinfolks who lived next door. And the Lord said to me, now what that verse means is this, is that when my people Israel got dirty, I used their wicked kinfolks next door to wash them up. And I thought, wow, that's wonderful. And then the Holy Ghost said, now let me give you the interpretation thereof for you. Now see, what difference does it make in my life that God used Moab to clean up Israel 2,000, 3,000 years ago? It doesn't mean one blasted thing to me. I was glad that I understood the scripture. But see, the scriptures are dead. It's nothing but history till the Holy Ghost makes it alive for now. And so this is what the Holy Spirit said. See, give me insight into Moab is my washpot. I couldn't have got this out in 17,000 years. He said, John Park is my washpot to get you clean. Now see, here I was trying to get God to change John, and here God was trying to get John to change me. Who do you think's going to win? Now you see what meditation, I tell you, I went home that morning just dancing. You talk about praising. Listen, God had spoken so clearly. I understood what was going on. You can stand anything when you understand what's going on. Man, I just came out of there. You know, I honestly, I can remember. And I'll just tell you the rest of the story because it was so wild. I went home and I remember it so distinctly. I was standing in front of the mirror shaving and I felt like I was in a cushion about 6 inches of air. And I was just praising God and I heard another voice. You see, when you get into the spirit world, there are two voices coming in. There are two channels. And this voice said this, just as plain. See, I was so tied in. I thought I was so tied into God that no other voice could come in. I wasn't even anticipating. And the devil never says, I'm the devil about to speak. Listen to me. You know, he never says that. And that is what this voice said. The voice said, yes, God is going to use John Park to wash you up, but like Moab went to hell, so John is. And I just withered. I can remember. I remember that feeling of being in 6 inches of air, which was a form of praise. I was just so excited, so happy in Jesus while I was shaving. And I just sunk down, felt like I was going to wither. And then the Holy Ghost spoke and said this. And if you understand scripture, boy, I just came back out of the Holy Ghost said, Ruth was a Moabitess. Woo! You see, I didn't have to have a song leader say, stand up and praise. Right? I mean, it was just there. And isn't God changing John? Everybody that knows John, God says, is changing him. But see, if I hadn't meditated, I'd be still trying to get God to change John, and God would still be using John to change me. See, God doesn't push himself. You got to wait.
Yes.
Don't push himself. He waits till you shut up enough to listen. What does Colossians 3 say? Set your mind on things above. We're living too much by what we see. And that's not faith. Faith is saying, God, I see this. Tell me what you see. You know what a vain imagination is? A vain imagination is the devil's interpretation of the object of your attention. And meditation is God's interpretation of the object of your attention. Let me give you an illustration. You go home from this conference when you have given up time to come worship God and learn how to worship Him, and you find out that somebody has backed a semi-truck up to your house and taken out every bit of furniture. Now, that's just a fact. That's got your attention, right? No furniture. It's all gone. Now, it isn't facts that bother us. It's the interpretation of facts that bothers us. And you'll probably hear a little voice that'll go something like that. God could have stopped that, couldn't He? Yeah, He could have, you'd say. Why didn't He? I don't know. He doesn't love you. And you can get depressed. Depressed, 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 depressed. But suppose you stop and meditate. And say, well, Lord, the appearance of things is everything's God. Would you mind explaining this to me? And you might get an answer something like, well, you've been praying for new furniture for 5 years, and I just decided. Now, let me ask you something. One of them will just cause you to praise Him and be a testimony to the neighbors, and the other one will cause you to act just like everybody else acts. It isn't the object of our attention. It is our interpretation of the object of our intention that fouls us up. What's worry? It's the devil's interpretation of the object of our attention. 99% of stuff we worry about never comes about anyway. Who told us all that trash? The liar. And we believed it and worked up some good old stomach acid. Why? Because we just listened to the enemy. It wasn't God telling us a lie. He tells the truth. So you see, it doesn't make any difference whether it's a rebellious child, whether it's the scripture, whether it's God Himself, whether it's yourself, whatever it is. You look. See, most of us have a very, very bad opinion of ourselves. Why don't you stop and ask God what He thinks of you? That's the most important thing. You remember one time in the Bible, a fellow said, Jesus, I'm so unworthy, I don't even want you in my home. That was his opinion of himself. You remember what Jesus' opinion of him was? I have not found a person so worthy in all Israel. His opinion of himself was he was unworthy. Jesus' opinion of him was that he was the most worthy person he'd found in all of Israel. Now let me ask you something. Whose opinion about you is right? Your husband's, yours, or God's? Well, a few of you knew. Whose opinion is right? Okay, well, why don't you find out what God thinks about you? You see, what meditation does, it puts us right in contact with Him. And after He speaks and acts, praise is the most natural thing in all the earth. Now, I want to show you where the Lord led me to read this morning in my devotions. Turn to Psalm 43. Now, I want to show it to you right in here, in Psalm 43. Now, this is just an Old Testament way of saying the same thing. Look at the last part of verse 2. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? That's a good question. Now, what does the psalmist understand? Verse 3, send thy light and thy truth and let them lead me. God, in this situation in which I'm mourning, send your light and your truth and let them lead me. Now, what will be the result of that? And let them bring me to thy holy hill, to thy dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise thee, O God of my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. What it's really saying here, here's a guy that's down in the mouth. And there are a lot of things can get us down in the mouth. And he goes to God and gets God's light and truth, and he comes away praising. You see, all things work together for good is an easy verse to quote. It's not an easy verse to live by. How much time have I got left? Huh? Okay, let me show you this one more scripture, and then we're going to practice it. We're going to get this straight. Now, take Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How's it going? It goes like this. There are four lines in it in my Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. By the way, that word acknowledge is the Hebrew word for know. In all your ways know him. Now, let me put this into this diagram. Number one would be, lean not to your own understanding. Number two would be, in all your ways know him. Number three would be, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And number four, well, he shall direct your paths. Can you see that in there? That's just the process of meditation. It's really exciting. I was up in a town in Georgia the other day. I was teaching a noonday crowd to do this. And I said, now, we're going to meditate like this today. Every husband is going to ask the Lord how he can love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And every wife is going to ask the Lord how she can submit herself unto her husband as unto the Lord. You see, those verses mean nothing till they work out down here where the water, the rubber hits the road, does it? Doesn't mean a thing. The funniest thing happened to the preacher and his wife. The preacher got up that morning and said, I'd like you to fix supper for the evangelist or whatever I was, and have him over tonight. She said, I don't want to fix supper. Let's take him out to eat. And it was left like that. So the Lord said to the wife, when she said, Lord, I'm meditating on that verse. How can I submit myself unto the husband? The Lord said, fix supper tonight for the visiting evangelist. In the meantime, across the table, he was telling the preacher this. Lord, how can I love my wife? Help her fix supper. And you see, let me say this to you. I want you to listen to me carefully. Most of what God tells us in meditation is simple and mundane. And you see, if you're looking to hear from God like, send Bibles or take Bibles to China, it's going to be very hard to hear God say, take a cake across the street. Tomorrow I'll talk to you about some of the ways to distinguish the voice of God. You just need to know the voice of God. I'll talk to you about some of the ways to know the voice of God. But let's practice this a little bit right now, okay? And by the way, the best way to become a learner, a real learner, is to fail in what you're trying to do. A lot of you are going to absolutely fail right here. And you see, it is in failure that a learning climate is often set up. I don't know how to ride a bicycle. Would you show me how? I've learned to ski in the last 3 years. And after a few tries, I was glad to have somebody teach me how. Now, let's see if we can meditate on a couple important things. Well, I tell you what. I'm going to start you off where I think it's real good to start off. I'm going to start you off on a scripture that everybody in here knows. Everybody knows the scripture. Now, the scripture goes like this. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, that doesn't mean what it says. I can prove to you right now it doesn't mean what it says. It doesn't mean that you can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, because you can't jump over this building. You can't. So you can't do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, what does that verse mean for you today? You know, I live in the today. I want to know what God is saying to me now. And listen to me carefully. One of the things you learn about God is he's a God of the now and the here. And he'll speak to you about today, not next month. Unless you need to be spoken today about next month. And you understand. You see, God is a God of the now. Now, I want you to, you see, let's try this down here. I want you to actually write out this. Now, I want you to write out your observation on the number one of Philippians 4:13, which is that verse. You write out what you think it means. Now, pray the prayer in number two, and then ask God to tell you what it means for you today. And then in number four, and listen, this is very important. Will you listen to me carefully here? If God speaks and you don't respond, your heart becomes hardened. That is a law of hearing. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That appears three times in Hebrews 3 and 4. It must have been important to be repeated three times. And listen, always respond to what God says. Even if it's thank you so very, very much, that's a response. But never ignore what God says. Never ignore what he says. And there's always an appropriate response when God says something. Sometimes it's just thank you. Oh, I love you. I love you. And I want you to listen to me carefully. My experience in meditation is that 90% of what God tells me is encouragement. It's not orders to do something else or correction. 90% of what God tells me is encouragement. And he's the God of all comfort. And that word in the Greek is encouragement, really. Counsel. Pushing us on. And I tell you what we need more than anything else in the world today is encouragement. We are bombarded by the outside. Now, I want you to get in the water on Philippians 4:30. And I literally want you to work through this. You write it out. You just trust me. I'm trying to teach you how to ride the bicycle. And you work it out. And then you listen to what the Lord tells you that it means to you. And then you write out the response. And we'll take about 5 minutes to do this. So, you see, it's very difficult to take a big group to meditate because God moves. And I think he'll be gracious to us. But we all move at different paces.